Welcome to Insider Profile. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com.
The most intriguing notion is to start work on an interplanetary internet protocol. In 20 years' time, we actually will want to interact with people and systems on the moon, on Mars, and possibly some of the other planets.
Vince Cerf is Senior Vice President, Internet Architecture and Engineering for MCI. That's moderately interesting. He helped invent the internet. That's really interesting. He's thinking about an interplanetary internet protocol and toasters on the net. That's more interesting still. Here's part one of our two-part interview with Vince Cerf, father of the internet. What is the most optimistic statement you feel you could make about the internet?
I think the most optimistic statement is that it will exceed the scale and capacity of the telephone network sometime probably in the latter half of the next decade, and that ultimately there will be more devices on the internet than there are people in the world.
And what's the most pessimistic statement you could make about the internet?
We won't figure out how to handle the demand for growth in capacity on the net. The vendors won't be able to supply us with routers and switches that will go at gigabit speeds, and the whole shooting match runs out of gas sometime in the next 2 years.
Can you name a recent, either personal or professional accomplishment of which you are particularly proud?
I can tell you what I'm most excited about right now. It's not done yet, so I'm not sure I can claim it's an accomplishment. But we're beginning to realize that we're going to need to make some significant changes to the internet as time goes along. Some of them are short-term, having to do with the support of telephony and video and other real-time services. But the most intriguing notion is to start work on an interplanetary internet protocol, because it sometimes takes 10 to 15 years before these things can materialize and become production capabilities. And it's my guess that in 20 years' time, we actually will want to interact with people and systems on the moon, on Mars, and possibly some of the other planets. And it's time to get busy getting the protocol suite developed so that we can handle that. Right now, we can't.
What do internet service providers need to do to take the internet to the next level, however you define that? What's next?
Several things. First of all, the most vital thing that we can do collectively, apart from just making sure that we have enough capacity, is to begin to work towards higher and higher reliability for the services of the network. We can tell already, even though in the States it's only about 20% penetrated into the residential and business sector, that people are really beginning to rely on the availability of internet on a day-to-day basis. And as they begin to rely on this system, they are going to be increasingly damaged when it isn't available. Business doesn't work, can't reach your friends, you miss an important announcement or a piece of correspondence. We can't let that happen, and what we need to do is to build into the internet community the same respect for quality, reliability, and resilience that has gone into the telephone system over the last 100 years. But we need to do it in a lot less time than that. So there are already cooperating activities. One was started called the Internet Service Providers Organization, ISP.org, which is a collection of the larger ISPs working together to make sure that we have good operational procedures to resolve problems and to solve them quickly so that our customers, in fact, will benefit. I think that's probably the most important thing we can do. The next most important thing we can do is to get security into the system more thoroughly than we have up to the present. That means not only building in security into the network itself to protect it, but also to provide facilities for end-to-end security so that our customers can feel secure that they have confidential communications as opposed to communications which might be more open than they would like. So those are two of several different things that I believe are on our plate for early attention.
Do you remember your first computer? What was it like? What kind of machine was it?
It was, let's see. The very first machine I ever did anything with was called a Bendix G15 computer. It used punched paper tape as its input-output and a fairly simple programming, very basic programming language. I graduated to more elaborate machines over time, but that was the very first one, and that was back about 1960.
I'm afraid you triggered a recollection of my first punched paper tape machine, the Monrobot Mark 11, which
programmed
in 1968. You wouldn't have happened to have ever been on the Monrobot, would you?
No, I'm afraid not. The other machines that I worked on were things mostly IBM equipment in the early stages, 7044 machines, some 360s, some 360 90s, and things like that. And then later, you know, some smaller machines, PDP-11s, VAXs, and then ultimately things like Apple. I'm a Mac freak.
Certainly a Macintosh is easier to operate than a 32-bit 1024 location rotating drum machine. I used to have to divide all my programs in four because the idea was you would give it an instruction to execute, then you would time
this is so that you could pick up, as the rotating drum came around,
right,
you pick up the next instruction just as the drum came under the read head, right?
I had an infallible miscalculation which caused me to just miss the which would, instead of optimizing the program, would quadruple de-optimize the
program. That's usually referred to as pessimize the program.
Do you remember the first time you were on the Internet?
Well, that's an interesting question, having built the thing with Bob Kahn. The first time that we really had a three-network system running was in November of 1977. Before that, we had done some two-network demonstrations of a packet radio net and the ARPANET, the original wide area packet switch network that ARPA developed. And those tests would have taken place in 1975. So I guess the answer is the mid-1970s.
At moment one, did you look at that and say, wow, this is going to revolutionize the world?
I don't think that any of us quite had the magnitude of Internet in mind at the time. We were terribly excited, though, about the idea of helping computers scattered around in multiple networks to interact with each other and to design it in such a way that any new telecommunications technologies that came along would in fact be able to support the Internet. That was part of our design objective, and I'm very happy to say we met that one. So I think we had very high hopes for the technology, but I don't think we appreciated what would happen as it penetrated into daily use by the general population.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Insider Profile. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the Internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. We'll be back next week with another Insider Profile.